God, it's good to be here today, and I'm thankful to be able to open the Word of the Lord with you. And I feel good in the Holy Ghost because I have the Bible in front of me, and I believe it. And I know it's the Word of God. I've been kind of chomping at the bit here, waiting to get up here and get into the Scripture. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to go back to Revelation 13 and start again there. We're about midway through that now, through that chapter. We've been there for a while. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be using the overhead projector today, the Lord willing. I don't know if you like that or not, but like it or not, that's what I'm going to do. See, I'm getting older now, and I'm getting feistier. I know I say a lot of things make people mad, and that doesn't bother me. If it bothers them and they get mad, that's too bad. It's not my intent to make them mad. I'm not trying to be that way. I'm just trying to bring the truth out. And I do know this, and I've discovered this. In these last days, if you live by the Bible, you're going to be thought to be insane. I just want to reassure you there that this world and the Scripture are at odds with each other. This world rejects the Bible, and we love it. You know, I've noticed that there are two kinds of people in regard to my ministry, whether it be through the newsletter or through the spoken word, preaching, through the tapes or written materials, are two kinds of people that are reacting to me. One is that they either hate me extremely or they love me. There's no in between. I prefer it that way. And the majority of them hate me. And I think that's wonderful because it's great to not be ignored. I would rather have people hate me and love me in the two extremes than to have everybody think, hey, he's a great guy. Because the Bible says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. That kind of a thing where a pastor is supposed to try and please everybody doesn't work. And in all of this men-pleasing, you find yourself at enmity with God. But if you preach the Word of God faithfully and care not who says what or when they say it or what they say about you when they get home, whether they think you're too strong or this or that or too nasty, whatever the case may be, as long as you're faithful to the Word of God, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't make any difference. That's the way I feel about it. That's my opinion. I'd like to hear yours. Praise God. Now, we're going to pick up in Revelation chapter 13. I just wanted to say those things by way of introduction. Glory to God. Now, we are going to pray again for the Word. Not that the Word needs prayer. We do. See, this is forever settled in heaven. And sometimes we get a little unsettled. So let's pray that the Lord will settle it in our hearts. See, with the Word, with what you hear today, will come a responsibility, and you have to carry that. You have to do something with what you hear. Some people would rather not hear. You must have rather heard because you're here. So then, be willing to bear the responsibility of the Word of God, and realize you're not going to be everybody's friend for it. And there will be people who will say that you belong in some kind of a nut house somewhere. Just to use plain, simple language. Really? Don't let that bother you. Because they said all kinds of things about Jesus because he taught it straight. He wasn't trying to please people. He just gave the truth. And that's what we want to do today. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your holy word. We believe that it's forever settled in heaven. We know, God, that by your word you created the universe. That you are the great creator, the redeemer, the sanctifier. That you've called us out of darkness into marvelous light. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us as we go into the Scripture today. For there's nothing hidden, there's no great mystery about what we're doing, but it's openly declared before all men. And I pray, oh God, that you would give us wisdom and understanding and ears with which to hear. For we know that these are given by you and by your grace, by your sovereign grace, for there is none like unto you. For you're the Almighty God, the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I pray, oh God, that you would lift us up, that you would help us, O God, to rise above this world and to realize that we're in your kingdom, where we can receive your blessing and your word, that we're walking on a highway of holiness and no unclean thing can pass over it. And I come against every devil, every wicked spirit, every force of darkness, every evil and dark principality, power, evil imaginations, everything that would exalt themselves against your word, your will, your people, and your kingdom. I bind these powers, I break them all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking the authority of the blood and of the word and of the spirit. I now come against these things in Jesus' name, asking, Lord, that your word would have free course, that every doubt, that every fear would now be gone, for perfect love casteth out all fear. And we know that fear hath torment, and I pray that torment also would be bound and cast out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that, O Lord, our faith would be great, so that we might be the recipients of your blessings to your glory. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we're ready. Now I do that not as a matter of habit. I do that each time because I believe it's essential, and I believe in what I'm doing. I really do. If you don't think so, get in my way once and you'll find out. All right? Revelation chapter 13, and we're starting with the 11th verse again. I know I read these verses last week and I taught from the verses. I'd like to read them again and then go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We are talking about the beast that came from the earth. Remember, there were two beasts and two beast systems that came up. The first beast was the one world government structure or system. Is this too loud? All right, when I get going, I might have to turn it down. But anyway, the first beast was the government systems of this world, the political realm. We still have that with us, don't we? It's still there. But there was another beast that came up, unlike the first one. The first one came out of the sea. It was a composite of various types of animals. His representation was that. And we know that represented Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. These six world empires. Just like Nebuchadnezzar's statue. If you recall all this teaching, you know what I'm talking about. But now from the earth came another beast. And it was different from the first, and yet it had all the power of the first, and had the same mission and cause of the first. And what made it different is that it was religious. It was ecclesiastical. That's what made it different. The other one was strictly a persecuting political power whose cause and purpose was to captivate the whole world and bring it together in one political system. The second one is to gather all the world together and bring it together as one under a religious structure. Now, while it is true that the religious structure was built into the first beast, now it becomes predominant. Now the religion becomes more important than the political. And they always talk about separation of church and state. Well, I got news for you. They speak with a forked tongue. Church and state have never been separated. There's always been a religion of state. Always. Whether it be Masonic or whether it be anything else, there's always been one. Now, and of course, when I say one, I mean the one that's subdivided into so many ways that people get confused. Really, there are only two religions. There's the pure religion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there's everything else. And everything else is of the devil. All of it. You might say, well, some are more right than others. Shall we define error? Would you like to do that? We should define our terms. Some people think error is the opposite of truth. It's not the opposite of truth. It's anything less than truth. Anything less than truth. That's error. And the only truth we're capable of as human beings, see, as human beings, we're capable only of error. But as regenerated children of God, we are capable of truth through his word. This is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Didn't he say that? He didn't just say, I'm telling you the truth, although he said that, but he didn't just say that. He said, I am the truth. He was declaring his deity there, that he is God, very God, because only God is truth. Because in order to have truth, in order to be the truth, or understand it, you have to know all things about everything. And only God knows that. See, we don't know the truth about anything except what God told us. That's why people go to universities and study and work. And the Bible says, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They have professors with degrees covering their walls, but they can't find the truth. Why? They're not capable of it. Truth is revealed from God. Anything man comes up with is error. Every textbook is wrong, 100% of them, in all subjects. Did you know even mathematics is imperfect? Did you know that? It was like an example of it. Well, you might say, well, 2 and 2 is always 4, isn't it? 4 and 4 is always 8, right? Well, what happens when you get a number like 33.33333333333333 all the way out in infinity? You don't have a whole number anymore. It's imperfect. You can't do a thing with it. Or you can have, this is more appropriate for the book of Revelation, you can have 66.666666, and then of course they cut it off at a 7 somewhere, just to try to make it usable. Otherwise the calculator or computer just goes zing right out there, and it can't follow it, because it never ends. I'm talking about 1/3 or 2/3 of something. You can't put it into whole numbers. They have rounding up or rounding down. There's nothing in this world that's perfect, nothing. The only thing that is perfect that is in this world doesn't fit, and that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's glorious, it's without spot, it's without wrinkle or any such thing. And of course, his word, and those are the two witnesses that the world hates. The word, they hate this Bible, and they hate the church. That's why they come against the church and they come against this book. They'll rewrite it and rewrite it and rewrite it. And then they'll write commentaries about it. You know why they write the commentaries? You know why those are there? To tell you that this book doesn't say what it says. The reason that these guys wrote commentaries, like Unger and Haley and these different guys wrote books, is because they were telling you what the Bible would say if they had written it. Isn't that right? And so they wrote their little thing and said, this is what it means. Now, if you didn't read that, you could figure it out. Because the Bible says we have an unction from the Holy One, you need not that any man teach you. What does that mean? Nobody has to take this book and pull it apart and put it back together so you can understand it. If you're going to understand it at all, you'll understand it from God. If you can't get it from God, you'll never get it from man. Just a little plain talk here among friends. Now let's go into this second beast system and look at it, dissect it, this ugly critter. I get a little agitated, and I don't think you mind that. You've seen me do it before, and you still came back. But it says in the 11th verse of Revelation 13, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Didn't fit, did it? He looked like a lamb, had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spake like a devil. Should I jump ahead a little bit? Sounds like the Pope to me. You might say, well, don't you realize how insulting you are to that big religious system? Yes, and not enough so. I mentioned last week I love the people when they are sincere about anything, if they have a sincere heart, but that sincerity is not going to get them to heaven. You can be sincerely ever so wrong. Do I hate the Roman system? Yes, with perfect hatred. Is that okay? You're not supposed to hate, Pastor. Well, I do. And what did David say in the Psalms? See, I'm not going to be one of these little lovey-dovey, syrup-dripping preachers, drooling, oh, beloved, right? David said, do not I hate them that hate thee, O Lord. I hate them with perfect hatred. I'm smiling. For those that hear the tape, I'm smiling. See, I get sick of this kind of stuff where, oh, everything is love, love, love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Yeah. They're going to get something else unless they repent. Talk about God is love, God is love, God so loved the world. Yes, he did. That's a reference text. They teach this in the seminaries all the time. God so loved the world. Why don't they ever read proof text? They always go to the reference text to try to make a doctrine out of it. You can't make a doctrine out of a reference text. You can only make a doctrine out of a proof text. A verse that has a specific, definite meaning that cannot be made to mean anything else without violating the grammar. What world is God talking about? Other verses say he hated the world. The world's at enmity with him. He's talking about the world, those that are his, those that he foreknew, those that he died for, and the rest were blinded. Come on. You've got to qualify what world he's talking about. There's more than one world. I'm not talking about a globe here. I'm talking about a realm. I hope you understand what I'm saying. They say, God so loved. I've even seen stickers where that's all they say, God so loved. And then a bunch of little dots. Do you ever see how they fraction verses like that? God so loved, and ... meaning there's more to come, but we don't want to say it. You know, the Bible goes on and says the world's condemned already. But God so loved it, but there's another side to him. It's called judgment. It's called cast him into the lake of fire. It's called depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know ye not whence ye are. See? People don't like that. They don't want to hear about that. We get into Revelation 20, you hear all about hell. And so will everybody that listens to the tape. Come on. I'm telling you that God has opened the door of salvation to all that will hear him. We don't know who those all are, but he does. But those who will not, there's judgment. Remember when Paul, I don't know why I'm saying all this, I'm off my subject, but that, so be it. Remember when Paul was talking to Felix? What did he do? What made Felix tremble? He reasoned with him, of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And that man, the governor, trembled. We need to have some trembling people. We need to tremble at his word. This is almighty because it's God-breathed. That makes me enthusiastic. Comes from a scriptural word too, enthusiastic, enthusiasm. Theonoustos, God-breathed. Holy Ghost. Theonoustos, the Holy Ghost, God-breathed. That means that's where we get the word enthusiasm from. Because when God breathed upon them on the day of Pentecost, they got enthusiastic. Praise God. We need to be alive in Jesus Christ. Alive. I know the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, but he doesn't mean that. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Let's read here. In verse 12, and he exerciseth this beast, this one that came up with horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, all of it. Same source. And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. You see that? A religion that directs the people toward the worship of the one world system, the state. And for anybody who doesn't line up to that, they have enforcement called the Gestapo. I don't think much of our law enforcement system. I think it stinks to high heaven. Oh, you better not say that, Pastor. They'll get you. Then let them get me, because I'll get them back with the gospel. Praise God. The Gestapo. You know what Gestapo means? In German, state police. Do we have any of those? We've got a Gestapo. And who do they crack down on? You know, the judges are having a lot of fun. They're cracking down. They love to get their hands on anybody who's a believer or preaches the Bible, speak out. Oh, they love to grab them up. They'll take some rapist and cutthroat and throw them in jail for 5 or 7 years and let them out so they can do it again. Somebody preaches a gospel and messes up a little bit, they put them away for 50. Public enemy number one. Stuart Crane stood silent before a judge. Judge got so mad he wouldn't answer him. He wouldn't say a word. Didn't have to. That judge got red in the face and didn't even use his gavel. He was pounding. He was so mad. 50 witnesses or more came in. The judge sent the jury out so they couldn't hear his witnesses. Why? He said, I stand here because of my testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I won't conform. Praise the Lord. His attorney said, his attorney said, Dr. Crane here is not, we don't want him to have a jail sentence because he's not a dangerous man, he's not a criminal, he just does not conform to your way of doing things. And the judge with fire in his eyes said, to the contrary, he's the most dangerous kind of criminal there is. Why? Because he's got 3 doctorate degrees and he's out there refuting all the others and showing them that they're full of garbage and that the Lord, he is God. And they finally got somebody who is qualified, has the same little certificate they've got, that'll tell them so. And there aren't very many like that. The State Department wanted to hire him. He wouldn't work for them. Brilliant mind, but he gave it to God. And the judge wouldn't have it. He gave him the maximum sentence, 5 years. No possibility of parole, you see? Threw the book at him. What was his crime? He was there because he had formed a trust to put his money into and had attorneys set it up. It was all done legally, everything. There's no problem with it. But the IRS interpreted it as a partnership instead of a trust and charged him with income tax evasion. And they said, now we'll let you off if you'll just sign. You won't get anything. We'll drop the whole thing if you'll just sign this paper saying that you're guilty. He said, you're trying to make a felon out of me, and I didn't do anything wrong. He said, I'll go to jail. He said, I'm not going to sign that. He said, I got a lot of books I haven't read yet. And he went to jail, and he started Bible studies. They had daily Bible studies. He set up a church in the jail, still going. Bible studies all the time. He'd get down there and just dispute with them until he had them converted. Spent all his time doing that. They finally had to let him out. Well, anyway, I didn't intend to talk about him. That's just an example of how the law, the long arm of the law, remember, justice is blind. They got a blindfold around that old gal up there holding the scales. Let's read on. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. See, fire from heaven always represented judgment. When God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, remember? He sent fire, fiery judgment from heaven. Fire from heaven is another way of saying judgment. Now, if you have a situation like in the Dark Ages, in the medieval times, where the only church was the Catholic Church, the only true Christians were obscured. They were hiding out somewhere because if they... Well, they witnessed. They came down and witnessed to people, but the idea is they lived in seclusion. They had to, which is why it was Dark Ages. Every place there has been true Christianity has prospered. Did you know that? If you don't believe that, go up in an airplane sometime down in Texas and fly over the border, fly around the border area. Mexico is predominantly Roman Catholic. The United States wasn't initially. The United States was built upon people that if you go back, you find many revivals and people who truly serve God. You fly and you look to the left and look to the right as you fly eastward. On one side you see green, you see fields and cultivation, beautiful thing. And the other side is desert, dryness. Look at any Roman Catholic nation, desert and dryness and poverty, backwardness, third world. That's what you find. Because God blesses his word. He sends rain upon the just and on the unjust, yes. But that's referring to a people where there are some just people mixed in with the unjust. When you get in a situation where they're all unjust, it's going to be desert. But for the sake of his church, he has blessed this nation. And it's the only reason he's blessed it. And I'll tell you, when they rise up against the church, they're trying to destroy the only hope that there is. Now, in regard to this calling fire down, if you get in a situation like in the Dark Ages, where all there was to you was a pope and the cardinals and the bishops, and they came against you and pronounced a judgment, an anathema, a papal decree that you are a heretic, that was just as if it came from God. Now, it wasn't from God, but to them it was. And that was like fire from heaven, consuming them and destroying them, 60 million of them. And they did literally burn them at the stake, didn't they? And he doeth great wonders, it says. Great wonders. Great wonders. But you know what the Bible calls those great wonders? Lying wonders. Phony baloney wonders. That's right. Did you know that Martin Luther, of all people, made the statement that there were enough chips of wood from the cross of Jesus Christ floating around Europe to build Noah's Ark? The same Martin Luther is the one who went to Rome. He was an Augustinian monk and then a priest. And he went to Rome because he thought this is the holy city. And he went there and saw the priests laying with women in the streets, laying in their own vomit, drunk. And he came back, he went into the Vatican itself. And there the Pope was being served at a table by over 100 different nuns wearing absolutely nothing. Talk about a brothel, house of harlots. Luther came back to Germany and said, if there's a hell, Rome is built on top of it. And that was a priest talking. We're talking about a mystery of iniquity, and yet the vast majority of the people of Europe and that entire region of the world looked at Rome as still the holy city. Can you imagine that? Mystery of iniquity. They didn't know. They walk in darkness, not knowing. He doeth great wonders, it says. Lying wonders. You know, they were circulating a feather all over Europe. They said it was a feather from the angel Gabriel's wing. A feather from Gabriel's wing. And all these Roman Catholics said, oh my, such a holy thing. And they went miles to see it. Till some old farmer said, that's a peacock feather. And it was, too. Come on, Gabriel does not molt. All right? And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. In other words, the only place where they really look like a miracle to us, it's a bunch of hogwash, frog feathers, nonsense, right? But if you're in the power, if you're in the sight of the beast, if the beast is in you and around you and you're a little image of the beast, it's a miracle to you. To us, it's phony baloney fakeism, bogus. And we can see it in a minute. That's crazy. That shroud of Turin and all that stuff. But to them, oh my, what a wonderful thing. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of the Lake, Our Lady of the Desert, Our Lady of the Slum, wherever she happens to be. And they just get carried away with this thing. Why? Because they're in the sight of the beast. And it's a miracle to them. And they'll weep before it. And pray the rosary before it. And light candles in front of it. Because they're in the presence, in the sight of the beast. And thus it is a miracle to them. You see that? Now let's read the next verse with it. I'm going to finish that verse first. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. Notice, when they worship in the presence of the beast, something happens to them. I've seen this happen to people. I've known people that have visited this church, and I thought I was working with them and thought I was making some progress with them. In one case, this one couple went to visit a Catholic church, and they went up and participated in the Mass and took the host from the priest. And something came over them, and they lost everything they had. They couldn't understand anymore. They lost their ability to hear. Totally isolated. And they're not Catholic. They're not anything, really. But they lost it. Dangerous stuff. You go up and get involved in witchcraft, and that's what it is. The Mass is witchcraft. Catholic people are not Christian. They are not Christian. I know the bookstores wouldn't like that. Zondervan wouldn't like that. The little Christian book nooks wouldn't like that. They sell all that paraphernalia and junk in there. I've seen as much bad stuff in there as I see in an occult store. I'd almost rather walk in Lady Sybil's Cauldron than Zondervan. I don't want to go in either one. It's an old bookstore in Madison, Lady Sybil's Cauldron. Doesn't that sound like a dandy little thing? They used to have the black market down there. Now they got Prisca Magia. Every time you drive past there, just bind the spirits. And loose destruction on it. It'll burn down or something. Do you believe in warfare or not? These places will close up in the name of the Lord. Now, they're up to no good. They're part of the beast system. Verse 15 says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now we know, and I mentioned this last week, that God has made us in his image. We're in the image of God through Jesus Christ. But there are people that have been made into an image of the beast. You might say, but these people were people. They were never statues. It sounds to me it's like it's talking about a statue here. What did David say? Remember in the Psalms? There's your answer. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. They have a mouth, but they speak not. And they that make them are like unto them. And yet they come alive. They become like the idol, dumb, sightless, deaf, and yet they come alive and they speak and they hear and they see. But now they're images of the beast. And God looked at that mess and he said, these people have set up idols in their hearts. Images of the beast. Have you ever talked to any of them? You ever run into any? Image of the beast. George Herbert Walker Bush, the Supreme Court justices, images of the beast. I just happen to have enough guts to tell you. The county sheriffs, images of the beast. Well, what kind of a badge are they? Isn't that a little star? Why do they give them that pentacle to wear? Right? Or that funny little thing with the eagle on it. Actually, it isn't an eagle, it's a phoenix. Symbol of this country's never been an eagle, it's been a phoenix. You don't believe that, you check with the Bureau of Documents, they'll tell you. They'll send you the regular information. For 50 cents, you can find out what I'm telling you is true. The image of this country was a phoenix. People kind of developed it into an eagle, but it wasn't intended to be so. The phoenix, that miraculous, mysterious bird that rises from the ashes, that occult emblem, happens to be sacred to the Illuminati. That's how we got it. And of course, the Masons have it. They, you know, they play along with that too. They call it an eagle, but they look at it as a phoenix. Oh, incidentally, do you know what? If you've read the newsletter last time, you know about this. I think I put it in there. Do you know what the official emblem of San Francisco is? The phoenix. It's on their flag. The city flag. The city crest. The phoenix. Shows a bunch of ashes with this bird rising up out of it. Look it up in your World Book or Britannica or whatever. It's in there. It's in there. It's in there. Just like Prego. It's in there. It's in there. People don't look. I'm not giving you any classified information. It's declassified. It's out in the open. But most people are too preoccupied to look and see that these things are so. And they are. Now he says this in regard to all these little images of the beast. And of course, everybody's sitting and is mesmerized by a religion and goes through the rituals and the catechisms and the confirmations. And all this kind of stuff becomes an image of that beast system. You wonder why people are so entrenched and deeply ingrained in their religion. Why people will tell you, I have my religion. You tell them, no, you don't. Your religion has you. That's the problem. Because they have been made an image of that religion. They've been indoctrinated by it. They've been to the brain laundry. It's soaked and saturated their mind, their heart, soul, spirit. Demons have entered in that adhere arduously and tenaciously to that religion and will not let the people do otherwise. That's the problem. And there are thousands of pastors that love to stand up and take and accept and encourage the people to adore them as some great thing, as some mighty man that has more than they have. I got news for you. The Bible says we all have the same like precious gift and faith. There's no hierarchy in the church of God. There's the church of God, and then there's the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, oh, by the way, in verse 15 it talks about the intolerance of these people for those that have the truth. Cause them to be killed. You see? They want everybody that has this truth that isn't like them, whoever doesn't conform to the image of the beast system, they want them killed. They want them out of the way. And I was listening, I was watching this Jim Baker thing closely. And I'm no advocate of Jim Baker, but there's an example to be learned from that situation. And I listened to a lot of people on these talk shows. Nearly everybody that called in hated him with great hatred. And they were made to by the press. And what did he do? What did they get him on? Well, he sold more timeshares than he was able to provide. I think Brother Don has an article he cut out of a paper, talks about things like that. Well, sure, the airlines sell more tickets than they have flights for. There are a lot of double standards that way. But if the gospel's involved and a preacher's involved, lock him up and throw away the key. Anyway, that's the way the beast system operates. And verse 16 says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And last week we looked at that, didn't we? 666 happens to be the number of the Pope's title, Filii Vicarius Dei. That's his official title. The vicar or representative of God is what it means. Filii Vicarius Dei. Did you ever hear that old Roman Catholic song, Filii? They don't have any revival songs, you know. Et filio filii. You know how they do that. Rex tre laestis, rex gloriae. Doesn't that make you sick? Et filii hodie. Couldn't hit that low note. Then they go into this romping. Alleluia, alleluia. Isn't that a foot stomper? Singing about their God, the Pope. That's Latin. You can lose your breakfast on that one. It's terrible. Anyway, I'm glad I'm not a good singer. I couldn't do that justice. Now, the number of his name, the number of his title, in other words. Now, he tells us the number in no uncertain numbers. He tells us the specific one. Verse 18 says, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast." And those that can't do it or won't do it have no wisdom. Have no wisdom. The fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. "For it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66. God tells us the number of the beast, the number of his name, the number of his title is 666. In other words, a name is made up of letters. But those letters have to have a number equivalent of 666. And I showed you last week that to be true. And I'll get to that in a minute. Now, briefly, hopefully, let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let's concentrate and focus in now on this Antichrist, this beast with his number, this religious beast, who is not only religious but also political because he has all the power of the first beast before him. All right? The Pope is a very political person, you know, because the Vatican is also a country. It tells us in 2 Thessalonians, let's look at chapter 2. That's where we want to go. Chapter 2 for just a few minutes. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit." Don't let a spirit trouble you. Spirits will trouble people if you let them. Don't let them do it. So Paul says, quick remedy for that. Don't let them. "Nor by word," what people say, "nor by letter as from us." He didn't say letter from us. He's talking about the phony ones. Letter as from us. Like Edgar Wisenant's little book. Right? "As that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So it's a system, but within the system is a man, a real human being. A man of sin, a son of perdition. The word perdition means eternal damnation. He's a son. He's a child of eternal damnation. That's where he came from, and that's where he's going to. But notice this. This son of perdition, this child of damnation, is the product of a falling away. That there, from the church, from out of the church, would come an apostate one and an apostate system. You'll never find that reversed. The true church never came out of the false one. The false one came out of the true one. John said they went out from us because they were not all with us. Didn't he say that? But you never find that reversed. That's why the Reformation is bogus. Oh, Luther had some truth and he made a stand, and I appreciate that. And he did a lot of good, yes. But the church didn't come from Catholicism. The church came from God out of heaven. The church is bought in his own blood. You don't have the church coming, the true church coming from the false, but from the true, the false proceeds through a falling away. And this is exactly what happened. Oh, by the way, Reformation Day was October 31st. That's the day Luther nailed his 95 theses on the church door at Wittenberg, Germany. Now, notice what he's saying here. In verse 4, "who opposeth," here's this man of sin now, "who opposeth and exalteth himself." Does the Pope do that? Does he go around wearing a gunny sack? Huh? Doesn't he sit in one of these chairs and all these other guys pick him up and carry him around? Wouldn't you say that's exalting yourself? "Above all that is called God or that is worshipped." Now, how many gods are there? Now, what did the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. "As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one." Okay, so he's talking about one God here, but now watch. "For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many." Does that bother you? There are many gods and many lords. But, thank God for verse 6, "but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. We know that, don't we? For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. And I don't want to go on because we'll hit another subject there. The point I want to make from those verses is this. Though we know that there's only one true God, we understand that. The world doesn't. The world regards many, many, many gods, a pantheon of gods. In all the world empires, they had numerous gods and goddesses, all kinds of them. I heard on the radio about a woman out in California who referred to herself as the Most High Goddess. She said that she was the reincarnation of Isis. And she had men come in, and the way she made her fortune, she had men come in and worship her, and they did the same rituals they did in the temple of Isis, which is highly immoral, and she collected for it. They charged her with prostitution, she told the judge, and boy, they played this up big, another religion. See? She said, I'm the Most High Goddess. And her husband, who ran the whole show, said she is. See, what it is demonic. She was possessed with a spirit that caused her to be thus. And she thought she was the reincarnation of Isis on earth, goddess on earth. The Most High Goddess? I never heard of such a thing. I know of the Most High God. The Bible says in the last days there be blasphemers. And there are. Now, he's saying in 2 Thessalonians, go back there, chapter 2, talking about these many gods. Because he says, who opposeth and exalteth himself, verse 4, above all that is called God. That means not us, that not all that is called God. We know there's one. But to the world, there are many that are called God. But notice, there's one who exalts himself higher than all of those, and that's the Pope. Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, notice that verse carefully, if you would. I'm trying to bring out some important truths here that we don't want to miss. Some people would say, well, this refers to a Jewish Antichrist in a rebuilt temple because it says temple of God. That's what Schofield teaches. Far from the truth. There is never going to be a building in this world that God regards as his temple. If you don't believe that, read Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. There was a time when God had a temple for his people, but now he has his people for a temple. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which temple ye are. It's not talking about the temple of God that is God's temple, which is your body. It's talking about something else here. Notice the facade. Notice how this works here. This man has made himself a god, built himself a temple, and sits there saying that he's God. Does the Pope have a temple? Oh, yes, Saint Peter's. St. Peter's got nothing to do with it. Come on. He's got his own little thing going. Notice, there's a prepositional phrase there, temple of God. It doesn't say God's temple. And this whole thing that is put together, if you look at that verse, it's all one big phony baloney thing. You got to read it together as one piece. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, he's not a God, but as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Everything pertains to he himself, including the building he's sitting in. It's not referring to God's true temple. God's true temple is not anything on this earth and never will be. Do you know the Bible tells us that if Jesus were to reign on this earth, that he would be no priest? His power would be gone? Did you ever read it? I think I touched on that one time. This time I'll touch on it again. See, we have to go forward here to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews, the 8th chapter, the first 3 verses, 4 verses. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That's where Jesus is. You see that? A minister of the sanctuary. Well, if he's sitting on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, how is he a minister of the sanctuary? He is if there's a heavenly one. That's God's temple in heaven. And I'll guarantee you this, the Antichrist isn't going to sit in heaven. And the Pope isn't going to sit in heaven. But we have a high priest who is sitting in heaven and is in his temple. and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Now watch verse 4, talking about Jesus. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. You talk about a millennium where Jesus is going to be on earth. Come on. The Bible says he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. A priest forever. And Schofield says he's going to be on earth ruling for 1,000 years. Der dritte Reich wird 1,000 Jahren dauern. Right? When the moon is in the 7th house. Come on. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. There's your 1,000 years. And Schofield picked up on it. And he's got 90% of the fundamentalists believing it. And I'm not here to condemn anybody, but I'm here to condemn a doctrine. And if people will search the scripture, they'll find these things are so. If Jesus Christ were on this earth, he would not be a priest. You see what happens? You have to deny the cross of Calvary. You have to deny salvation to believe in a millennium. You have to deny the Lord Jesus Christ to believe it. And people do it ignorantly. But once they hear this, they're not ignorant anymore. And if they don't search it out, they're not honest. And if they search it out, they'll find it. The Bible's very clear on this. Seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Just to finish that verse. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. Do you know how hard it is to cram all this information in an hour and a half? I got 24 minutes left. I haven't gotten to the transparencies yet. But we've got to establish some points here. We're going to miss the whole thing. He says in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Oh, we're going to have fun with this. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Some people say, ah, there's your rapture. The church is taken out of the way, and then the Antichrist comes forth. That's what Schofield says. That's what Clarence Larkin says. That's what Ironside says. That's all these guys that teach that. Come on. What is it saying here? Is the church a he? The church is always a bride, never a he. And so they try to manufacture an explanation for that. But it doesn't hold water. What is it telling us? Just look at what the Bible says of itself. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, how many beasts have we talked about in regard to this? I'm going to come back to this verse and define the he now. How many beasts have we talked about? Really, two. The one that came out of the sea, the composite beast. The other, or the earth rat. The sea, yes. And then the earth came forth the lamb that spake like a dragon. You got the two beasts there. One, two. Now you'll notice something. The second one doesn't appear until the first one disappears. Because the Bible talks about the one before it. If there was one before it, it had to have stopped. Something took place. Well, let's also get our reference from Daniel. What did Daniel say about that? That little horn that came up. Right? That was different from the others. Diverse from the first. And had a mouth speaking great things. Had the eyes of a man. With reference there to a horn, just like the horns on this lamb. You get the same thing from that. In other words, when the first beast is taken out of the way, the second beast quickly appears. It's talking about a switchover here of beasts. The Pope didn't appear until the Caesars fell. One of the reasons John was committed to the Isle of Patmos is because he was, well, the Bible says for the testimony of Jesus is why he was put there. But according to historical references in regard to the Roman Empire, John supposedly, and this is not scripture, but it fits, and so I don't mind using it. John supposedly was asked the question, do you believe Rome will stand forever or will Rome fall? And the answer, Rome will fall, but I do not desire it to be so quickly because when it happens, something far worse will come in its place. And he was referring to the papacy, to the little horn, which quickly followed. And did that little horn, did the Pope use the power of the first beast? What was the title of the Caesar, official title? Pontifex Maximus, Pont Max, great pontiff, chief pontiff. Do you know of any chief pontiff today? Anybody who calls himself that? The bridge maker? The bridge builder? That's what a pontiff, you get the word pontoon from that. The one that'll get you across the river to the other side to heaven? Get you over to Mount Olympus, get you across the river Styx, S-T-Y-X. Look on your rock albums. They're preaching a gospel out there, but it's not God's gospel. They're preaching to those people. When Paul Simon got up and sang that mesmerizing song, like a bridge over troubled waters, I'll lay me down. That pacifying, mesmerizing, captivating song with the piano playing and all this kind of stuff. He was preaching a message. When you're down and out, all this stuff. I should show you the words sometime. I'll bring that next time if I remember. I'll put them on the screen so you can see them. Like a bridge over troubled waters, I'll lay me down. Why? What was he saying? What was he preaching? There's a way to the other side. And what is it? Did he preach Jesus to them in the song? No, something else. Sail on, silver girl. Right? He talked about the needle, the heroin needle, the silver girl, and the heroin going up into the brain. You listen to the words. It tells you the whole story. And now that's going to change everything. It's on its way. Follow through with that. How about, hey, Jude? As soon as you let her get under your skin, talking about LSD. I won't go into all this rock stuff, but I'm just saying that that's their message. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, LSD. They knew what they were doing. The Beatles took their name Beatles from the Egyptian scarab, sacred beetle, bug. They worship bugs. And they think we're crazy. And those beetle worshipers, were there people worshiping that bug? On the Ed Sullivan show, when he brought them out there, and they were up there just bouncing around, I want to hold your hand. And these people, and these girls, you know, and waving their arms and falling over and everything else. Oh, John Lennon. Sure. Maybe we'll have a service like that. I'll just go through all that stuff. Might be valuable to some people. All right? So they've got a message that they're trying to bring across. There's a lot of preaching going on nowadays. Lots of it. There's very little of it is true. Most of it's devilish and sensual. Now, he goes on and he tells us this. When that first one's taken out of the way, the other one appears. Verse 8 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. See, it's religious here now. It's different. It isn't just some iron dictator. Now it's the deception of the heart. Now it's the capturing of the soul and the mind. Now it's a demanding of the allegiance and of the worship of the people. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because, and here's why they perished, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You're only going to be saved through loving the truth. Because if you don't love it, you'll leave it. Buy the truth and sell it not. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. And I'll tell you quickly that if God sends the delusion, there's no remedy. Because the only one who can take delusion from you is God. And if he does the sending, you've had it. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned. You ever hear Robert Schuller preach like this? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They're sinning, they want to sin, they love to sin, they want to have their Baal mass parties with their rum and coke, right? And they want to have their Christmas cheer, Jim Beam and Hiram Walker, and Hiram yet, and all these other ones, right? Oh, they're just enjoying it. 'Tis the season to be jolly. I'm starting early this year. in exposing this mess, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They love it. I hate it. I hate unrighteousness. Alcohol stinks. Tobacco stinks. Did you know that if God intended for man to smoke, he'd put a chimney in his nose? Or in his head somewhere? Special little thing? Come on. That old saying, you know, tobacco is a filthy weed. Trouble only doth proceed. It burns your fingers, soils your clothes, and makes a chimney of your nose. For lovers of poetry everywhere, I thought I'd just give that. Anyway. And then in verse 13, he says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." When did he choose us? From the beginning. Carrying the same connotation, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1 it says he chose us from the foundation of the world. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And some people hate that when I get on the fact that God does the choosing and not man. But he does. I can't help it, and I don't want to try and change it. I'm not going to try and sidestep it and twist anything. The Bible says God did the choosing. He's the chooser. Let's just leave it at that. Verse 14 says, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Notice, those are the only kind you're to hold. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now for the next 12 minutes, I want to show you a few things in the overhead. Some of you probably thought, I know why he's moving that service time up. He's going to pull a fast one on us and go till 12:30 anyway. No, that's not my intent. Now, if you remember last week, we were talking about all the obelisks and things of Catholicism. We talked about Catholicism, and of course, the obelisk is the image of Baal, meaning the shaft of Baal. It's phallic worship. It's a cult. And of course, Catholicism is preoccupied with that kind of stuff. What I want to do is just briefly, I want to page through these. Of course, we talked about the Vatican, that obelisk being there. The original one that was at Heliopolis or Beth Shemesh. Of course, we talked about the Mother Goddess and Easter's egg, Ishtar. And out hatched the Queen of Heaven. Okay? Preoccupation with egg worship. Of course, nobody colors eggs nowadays like the Babylonians, do they? They still color them? Okay. Now, you would think in this enlightened society that's illuminated, they wouldn't do such things. And when we mentioned the floor plan of the Vatican, and way over here in the middle of the egg or oval shape, you have the... we have one of those in Washington, by the way, called the ellipse, near the monument. And of course, there is the obelisk, direct center with a high altar, and in the doorway of the temple. Read Ezekiel chapter 8 sometime, and you'll see the image of jealousy was set in the door of the temple. We talked about the statue, which is Jupiter, was made over again into Peter. They just renamed the same statue. I'm going real fast here because we did this last week. Some of you weren't here, and I'm trying to be nice to you. There they decorated him up. All right? Now he was Jupiter, now he's Peter. They just put some robes on him. I guarantee you, Peter never dressed like that. Okay? There you see the old Pope kissing, about to kiss the foot of the statue, and of course the foot of it is about worn off, just about worn off, from all the people who have kissed this image. And this being the image of Jupiter is the image of Baal. Jupiter's another name for Baal. And God said to his prophet Elijah, "I have reserved unto me 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed his image." Everything they do is contrary to Scripture. Okay? We talked about the Mother Goddess. You can find that in the Catholic Bible, just like that. The crescent moon, the five-pointed stars surrounding the head, Queen of Heaven. No, she's not the Queen of Heaven. And that's not Mary. This is who it is, right here, this old gal. Diana of Ephesus, of the Ephesians. Remember the silversmiths made silver images of that? And notice on top of the head, what kind of hat is the old gal wearing? A tower, Tower of Babel. You also find those in a chess set. Incidentally, the game is called a rook. People get rooked all the time. But you know, in regard to the game of chess, the game of chess was invented by one of the wise men in Nebuchadnezzar's court for King Nebuchadnezzar. The idea was that instead of fighting wars, they play a game of chess, and whoever won lost his, won the kingdom of the other guy. Whoever lost his kingdom. Of course, the first time a guy lost his kingdom, he just called his army up and decided to renege on the whole deal. That's where it came from. Of course, this tells us about sun worship in various places of the world, Peru. We see the ancient Jewish sun worship. They set up little pillars and put little sun images on it and bow down before them. And yet in Catholicism, they're preoccupied with worship of the sun. The interior of the church on the high altar has a big sunburst up there, right in the middle. And they're very good on the circular stained glass windows. We had one of those here. We took it out. If you ever wonder why it's boarded up in front, took it out. Okay. Here's a priest lifting up the cookie. That's a little cracker or a little wafer that he has of unleavened bread. And he lifts that up and says his words, Hocus Corpus Meus, and that is Hoc Est Corpus Meus. And that means he is changing it into the body of Christ. That is literally flesh, human flesh. That's their teaching, transubstantiation. In Lutheranism, they teach consubstantiation, that it isn't literal flesh, but spiritually it's flesh. Did you ever hear spiritual flesh? And there they have it. There's their God, the God of Catholicism, the monstrance, as they call it, the sunburst. And the people bow down before that thing and fall to their knees in worship. And inside of that little thing is the little cookie. And they say it is Christ. The priest has the power to turn bread into Christ. Can you imagine? It was Satan who came to Jesus and said, if thou be the Son of God, make these stones bread. And here the priest says he can make the bread into Christ. There's the high altar. I don't know if you can feel the spirit in that. Serpentine pillars winding upward and upward. Why are they serpentine like that? They look evil to me. At a glance, they look evil. And, of course, there's a picture of the high altar a few steps back. It's square. All the people gather there, and look at the sunbursts all over the place. Now, here's the man of sin, the son of perdition, giving his heart to a piece of plaster. Some might not like what I'm saying about this great man. And I'm saying great with great care there. The world regards him as great. See, they look at that, and people hang that up in their houses and think, what a holy man this guy is. He's giving his heart to a statue of Isis, of Semiramis, and leading people astray thereby. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything. Notice he wears that little beanie on his head, just like they used to wear in all the pagan countries. What did God say not to make any round, shave any round spot in your head? He told that in his law. And then we took his title. Remember this? Filii Vicarius Dei. That's the Pope's title. We said that the letters, here's the mark of the beast now. By the way, the geometric mark of the beast, we said, is the hexagram, six angles right, six angles left, and six angles in the middle, forming the hexagon. And that is the geometric mark of the beast, 666. Anyway, we mentioned the F, has no numerical equivalent in Latin, in Roman numerals. The I has 1, the L is 50, the V is 5, the C is 100. A, R, and S are nothing. D is 500, E is nothing. His title, Filii Vicarius D, if you add it all up. In Roman numerals, it looks like this. DCL XV1, or 666, and you take all the remaining letters in their exact order, and it comes out to farce. But that doesn't surprise me, because when the Pope issues an official document, what does he call it? A papal bull. B-U-L-L. That's precisely what it is. I'm just giving it to you as it comes here. Talk about a myriad of gods and goddesses. Here they are. People you can pray to, gods you can pray to, you see, for help. If you're a merchant, you pray to St. Francis of Assisi. Miners is St. Barbara. Musicians, St. Cecilia. Notaries, St. Mark the Evangelist. Nurses, St. Catherine. If you're a painter, St. Luke. Pharmacist, St. Gemma Galgani, whoever that might be. Plasterer, St. Bartholomew. Printer, St. John of God. Well, if there's a St. John of God, I wonder what the other St. John is of. Sailor, St. Brandon. Scientist, St. Albert. Singer, St. Gregory. Steelworkers, St. Eligius. Students, St. Thomas Aquinas. That didn't surprise you, did it? Surgeons, Saints Cosmas and Damian. Tailor, St. Boniface of Cridian. Tax collector, St. Matthew. Well, that's appropriate, isn't it? And if you're a barren woman, you pray to St. Anthony. If you're a beer drinker, you pray to St. Nicholas. That's a fact. They've got a patron saint of beer drinking. Right? That kind of makes me wonder how he can be the patron saint of beer drinking, because in heaven there is no beer. That's why they drink it here, right? Okay? Doesn't that kind of make you wonder? And on and on and on, the whole list goes, and they got to set up them for diseases, and they'll pray to these, and it's got their day, too. Pregnant women pray to St. Gerard, and they've got a patron saint of television, St. Clair. Can you imagine such a mess as this? Yeah, you're right, they did get the right one. St. Nicholas they got for beer drinking. And that is in their official, that's their list. Beer drinkers is on their list. And I'll tell you, he's high on their list, too. Anyway, oh, and we have more. You know, I didn't show you all of them yet. There's some more, if you're interested. That must be. Why, certainly. You'll notice that people will drink a lot of beer, get a red nose and a belly that shakes. Right. They start to look like the old saint they've been drinking to. And then there's another list for all kinds of occupations. Okay? Talk about hokey pokey. And that's what it's all about, too. Now, we looked at Catholicism. I think my time is gone. The Bible says redeem the time, so here goes another 5 minutes. Anyway, what we want to look at is Catholicism, remember, is not just a religious system, but it's the second beast, and has the power of the first beast before it. Here's just a little example of that. There's Richard Milhouse. That's his middle name. Oh, by the way, you know what Richard Milhouse did before he became president? For over 6 years, he lived in a special apartment owned by the Rockefellers, one floor up from Nelson Rockefeller. He was his private attorney, and also learning a few things about being president, because they were going to put him in there. An apartment building where every floor is one apartment. Massive structure. Here he is talking to the Pope. Now, before you can get in to see the Pope, it's papal law that you have to bow before him and kiss his ring, or you don't get in. And that's no matter who goes in, including presidents. So Richard, and you'll never find a picture of that. They're going to show him doing that in the newspaper? Oh, no. Too many people would be outraged. Maybe not nowadays. But when he was president, probably so. Right. Yeah, that's right. The address there was 666, but don't let that surprise you, because Ronald Reagan moved into a house which was 666 St. Cloud Drive, next door to Zsa Zsa Gabor. Anyway, but he changed the number of that because people started to squawk. He didn't need the flag, all right? Anyway, this is while Nixon was president, and he's over here. What's he doing there? Why is he there? I don't know. It's supposed to be the smallest country in the world, just a religion. He's never come to see me, okay? But he's over there. Did I say something funny? Okay. Now, Catholicism is not just within itself. It's expanded out into various other things. This came out a while back, and they sent me a copy. Those who were here when I got into witchcraft recognize some of this stuff. The Seventh-day Adventists put this out in an effort to ecumenize the whole system. It's a series. What I Like About. The Lutherans, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Charismatics, the Catholics, our Jewish friends, and the Adventists. I was going to write one that says what I don't like about the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Methodists. See, it works two ways, doesn't it? But ecumenism says, oh, we got to find a little good in everybody. See? You don't get there by a little good. You get there by being transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And, of course, here's just a little chart on an organization, an ecumenical organization called the Church of Christ Uniting, which is an offshoot, a spawn of the World Council of Churches, and the NCC, the National Council of Churches, made up of 25,214,490 members. 44% of those are United Methodists, 14% Episcopal, 13% United Presbyterian Church in the USA, 8% United Church of Christ, then the Disciples of Christ, 7.5%, 4.5% of African Methodist Episcopal Church, 3.5% Presbyterian Church in the United States. But remember that 3.5% is almost a million there. And 3.5% African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church, and 2% Christian Methodist Episcopal Church. Boy, they got a lot of them, huh? They all want to get together and have one. So that's the kind of, it's a definite effort that's going forth. Here's one that kind of makes you wonder if they can decide or not what they're up to. Here's a little procession coming out of a church. Notice the expressions on the faces of the people. There they've got a big cross up there on a stick. Below the cross is the crow's foot, the upside down, the broken cross, symbol of Antichrist. They worship they know not what. They think it's the peace symbol. When they shall say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. See, all this stems from that harlot. And then you have the New Agers getting involved writing books like this. I, John, a prophetic novel by Ben E. Lewis. There's a cross up there, the all-seeing eye. The reincarnated apostle, story of John in the New Jerusalem. And a six-pointed star. Boy, you got the whole thing there. All right, I don't intend to read it. Now, some of you, how many were here when I did the Halloween thing on a Thursday? Okay, so some of you have seen a few of these. There's a communion service. Okay? Just look at that old guy. He does look a little bit like him, doesn't he? It's taking place in Dallas, Texas, and the occasion is Advent. Now, here you have this guy, they just had communion, and he's dancing down the aisle in this woman with hot pants on. That was a Southern Methodist University. Communion service. All right? See, what causes all this stuff? Well, here's another one. What I'm doing is I'm exposing all the ecumenism now. There was a guy after me one time for years to get into Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. Dima Shikarian is the head of that. Anyway, notice their emblem. A new wave of revival. Anaheim, 87. And there it is. The all-seeing eye. Okay, just to show you where they're coming from. the Egyptian Eye of Ra. It says our 34th World Convention to be held in Anaheim, California, June 30th to July 4th, 1987 is fast approaching. The convention will feature outstanding speakers such as our own founder president Demas Shakarian, Pat Robertson, Father Ralph DiOrio, John Correa of Guatemala, Reverend Kenneth Hagin, Charles and Francis Hunter, Alan Seog Sr., Sanford McDonald of McDonnell Douglas Corporation, that's an illuministic company, John DeLorean, Alan Meyer of Oscar Meyer Corporation, Gene Ellerby of Procter & Gamble, singer Mike Adkins, and many others will be joining us. Start making plans now. You won't want to miss this one. It's a new wave of revival. What's wrong with that? Do you see any problems? Call no man your father upon the earth, for one thing, but there's a whole bunch of other things in there. Here's the bunch that calls meetings together. They always get a Catholic auditorium. People come together and they fall over like cordwood, slain in the spirit. Isn't that interesting? Every place they go, people are slain in the spirit all over the place. Fall over, backwards. They hit the dust. They have catchers catching them. You're supposed to have catchers at a baseball game, not a church service. The only people I read about in the New Testament that I can think of right offhand that were ever slain in the spirit are Ananias and Sapphira. They were slain in the spirit. And they took them out, wound them up, and buried them. Okay? These are not only pro-Catholic, they are Catholic. Okay? And so is this guy. Pat Robertson is Catholic. Evangelist Pat Robertson appeared with Cardinal John J. O'Connor on the steps of the Cardinal's Rectory in New York Tuesday. Robertson, who suspended his Republican presidential bid May 16th, said the Roman Catholic leader was very encouraging in his campaign and that they are one in their basic beliefs. Sure they are. Catholicism. Notice he didn't say the Cardinal agrees with me. He said we are one in our basic beliefs. Here's the great healer, Catherine Kuhlman. There they must have snapped that right after she kissed his ring, because that's what happens. Is she preaching to him saying, you Antichrist, you? Is that what she's doing? Doesn't look like it to me. All right? I clipped this little thing out. I thought you might want to see it. That INRI you see in the top of the cross is INRI. Well, according to Jesuit doctrine, what the INRI means is Iustum Nicar Regis Impios. It is lawful to kill heretics. They say that's what they put on the top of the cross of Jesus, thus calling him a heretic. Okay? There's your INRI. And here's Billy. Okay? Did you ever notice it was always Billy Graham, Evangelist Billy Graham, and all of a sudden it was Dr. Billy Graham? Well, here's how that amazing transformation took place. Billy Graham at Roman Catholic Belmont College receiving the yoke of Rome. This picture is from our original negative. Graham was granted an honorary doctor's degree from this Roman Catholic college. Graham told his audience that, quote, the gospel that founded this college is the same gospel which I preach today. Graham has compromised and forsaken the true gospel of Christ. See how that all works together? Now, probably. Right. He's a star now, too, by the way. He's got a star on the sidewalk. But anyway, you know, the hardest thing to do is stop. I've got a testimonial here. Some of you have seen some of this. Have I ever showed you some of these things about the life of Christopher P. Sin, S-Y-N. How many have seen it? Two? Anybody else? Now, I know I can do this whole thing in 6 minutes if you... No, seriously, I can. If you can stick around that long. All right? We're going to have a little fellowship afterward anyway, so we're doing good. Okay? I don't intend to do this every week now. But I want to give you an example of a minister. A man who... His name, he's converted now. His name is, his last name is...